Doctors Today. The latest discoveries in the world of medicine. This program is of special interest to fathers and mothers who do not pretend to be perfect parents. We ask that you listen so that you may avoid some of the most common mistakes in child training and guidance. The American Medical Association, in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations, presents Doctors Today, a weekly report on the progress of medical science. This week, a report on everyday problems in child psychology. We first hear Dr. Fred V. Hine, consultant in health and fitness, Bureau of Health Education of the American Medical Association. Dr. Hine.
We usually think of bad parents as the type who are haled into court for neglecting their children. We remember newspaper stories of young mothers who leave a hungry baby crying in his crib while they make rounds at the taverns. There is also the father who comes home drunk and beats his children. We are not surprised when problem children come from homes such as these. But how do we account for the juvenile delinquents who come from the homes of highly respected citizens? I feel sorry for children whose fathers and mothers refuse to admit that they make mistakes. Every parent worthy of the name will have problems at one time or another with a child. But the parent who has constant problems and who believes that the child is always at fault is headed for serious trouble. Many parents make themselves and their children miserable, continuously and needlessly. Let a grandfather with a deep understanding of his children and his children's children show you what can happen in a typical family. This is the story of John Morris.
After I had the misfortune to lose my wife some years ago, I was living all alone in a big house. Well, Sir Paul Ward, my son-in-law, was good enough to insist that I move in with his family. I finally agreed to live with them, but I made a solemn promise to myself. Never would I try to tell them how to raise their family. Of course, a man can't raise a family without having his own opinions. Besides, when you run a drugstore for 30 years and you know every doctor in town, you learn a lot about such matters. But still, I kept my promise until one night, Paul and Janice put me on the spot. I'm ashamed to admit it, but I talked like a Dutch uncle with a hole in his head. Here's how it all came about. Paul and I were sitting in the living room talking over world affairs.
Yes, of course we need a large air force, but
really, this is too much. Paul, do you know who that was?
Hmm? Do I know who what was?
Didn't you hear me talking on the phone?
No, of course not. Your dad and I have been talking.
Oh, well, if you'll excuse the interruption, I've got news that's simply priceless.
It must be good news from the way you're smiling.
I don't know why it strikes me so funny, but it does. The Worthington boy has run away from home. He hasn't been heard from since he left for school this morning.
What Worthington boy?
Well, you know Jimmy Worthington. You've seen him around here with Dick dozens of times.
Oh, Jimmy Worthington. Huh. Imagine that, John.
Well, I hope he turns up soon. I think a lot of Jimmy. He and Dick have been such good pals. I know how Dick would feel if anything had happened to him.
Yes, Dick would certainly miss him.
Oh, but think how embarrassing this is to Mrs. Worthington. You know, of course, that she's president of the women's club.
Oh, well, they'll find him.
But, Paul, she's supposed to be such a model wife and mother. Why, they even made her chairman of that committee to investigate juvenile delinquency.
You know, I'm always a little suspicious about these people who try to tell other people how to raise their children.
Well, I don't know how she finds time for all these outside activities. She has three children about the same age as ours. I can't spare the time for all those meetings. How does she do it?
Oh, you know the answer, dear. The Worthingtons have plenty of money. She doesn't have to do her own housework.
Paul, even if we had the money, I'd still want to stay home and look after my children.
Well, John, Guess I knew what I was doing when I married your daughter.
Yes.
What's the matter, Dad? Don't you feel well?
Oh, yeah, I feel fine.
Now, don't you worry about that Worthington boy. They'll find him.
I wasn't thinking about Jimmy, especially.
Well, why are you so quiet all of a sudden?
That is Mrs. Worthington who called you, wasn't it?
Yes.
Do you mind telling me what she wanted?
Oh, she wanted to know if Dick had seen Jimmy since last night.
What'd you tell her?
I told her that Dick wasn't home from school yet.
Where is Dick?
Oh, I don't know. Out playing ball somewhere, I imagine.
Did he come home for lunch?
No, he took his lunch today. Oh, Paul. Paul, you don't suppose he...
Oh, Janice, don't you see that he's kidding you?
Dad, you old meanie.
I'm not teasing, Janice. About time Dick came home, isn't it?
Huh? John, you can't be serious.
But I am serious.
Dick run away from home? Why, he'd never do a thing like that. Why should he? He's got everything he wants. Oh, let me get it, Janice. Hello?
Hello. May I speak to Dick, please?
Who is this calling?
This is Dan. Dan Wilson.
Oh, yes, Danny. No, Dick isn't home yet.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you. Goodbye.
Wait a second, Danny. You saw Dick in school today, didn't you?
No, he didn't come to school, Mr. Ward.
Dick wasn't at school? Are you sure?
Yes, sir. We didn't see Dick all day. We thought he must be sick.
Well, thank you, Danny. I'll have Dick call you as soon as he comes in.
Okay, Mr. Ward. Goodbye.
Janice, I think I'd better call the police.
Paul called the police and gave them a description of his son. Janice called Mrs. Worthington and learned that Jimmy had taken $10 and left a note addressed to his sister. Dick hadn't even bothered to do that much. The other children came home, and we talked until bedtime. Marilyn and Bob were sent off to bed. It was getting on toward midnight, and still there was no word from Dick and Jimmy. Finally, I saw that Janice was close to tears, and Paul was no longer angry, only worried. You could see how much they loved that boy and how bewildered and hurt they were that he would leave home. Paul said,
I can't understand it, darling. We've given him a good home and everything he needs. Why would he do a thing like this to us?
This wasn't Dick's idea. Jimmy wanted to run away, and Dick tagged along to keep him company.
No, I don't believe that. Do you, John?
I think that Dick is just as strong-minded as Jimmy. I don't think that either of those boys could lead the other into mischief. Oh,
but, Dad, what does Dick want that we aren't already giving him? Why would he run away?
Well, he must have his reasons for believing that he'd be happier somewhere else. Otherwise, he wouldn't have run away.
But that doesn't make sense to me. We've given him everything.
I mend his clothes, darn his socks, feed him all he can eat.
Of course.
What more could he ask?
John, can you tell us one thing that we haven't done for that boy?
Well, it's easy to criticize. I know you. Both doing what you think is best, and who am I to try to tell you how to raise your children?
Well, but you and Mother did pretty well with Roger and Elsie and me. Roger never tried to run away, did he?
No.
John, one thing I've always admired about you. When I ask you a question, you give me an honest answer.
Oh, why don't you let me mind my own business? Any darn fool can give you free advice.
Dad, you're just afraid you'll hurt our feelings.
Well, after all, Dick is your boy.
Listen, Dad Morris, we've never asked you for advice before, and you haven't offered any. Now we want you to speak your mind. Have we ever done anything to Dick that should make him want to run away from home?
Possibly.
Why don't you say what you really think?
All right, I will. I think I know why Dick ran away. It wasn't any one thing that you did or said. It was a lot of things. Dick is your oldest, and you've learned a lot since he came along. But I think you made your first mistake with Dick when he was only 4 weeks old. I remember one night when Martha and I were here, and he began to cry.
Oh, dear, there he goes again.
Now, Janice, remember what you promised.
I won't pick him up. We'll let him cry it out this time. He isn't due to be fed for another hour.
Darling, when you were a baby, I never let you cry for more than a minute. I always took you into bed with me.
That's why I turned out to be such a spoiled brat.
Don't you think it's a little different when they're bottle-fed, Mrs. Morris?
No, I don't, Paul. When they cry like he's crying, they want attention. We should give it to them.
Well, we've read several of the latest books, and we've talked to the doctor, and he thinks we ought to keep Dick on a regular schedule. If you get them off to the right start, it's a lot easier, Ape, later on.
Oh, really?
Well, that's what all the modern authorities say.
Have they found something that will take the place of a mother's love?
Well, naturally not,
but Mother, this has nothing whatever to do with a mother's love. It's just a matter of getting them adjusted to bottle feeding.
Dad, how did we ever raise our babies without an alarm clock?
I don't know. I guess we were just lucky.
Mother, if you don't mind, we'll raise Dick according to the modern method. I think he'll turn out all right.
Janice would remember that she had said something like that to her mother when Dick was 4 weeks old. Now I saw that there were tears in her eyes as she said,
Dad, we did let Dick do a lot of crying before we got him on a regular schedule. Mother knew a lot more about babies than I realized at that time.
Well, according to some of the doctors I've talked to lately, it's a mistake to let them cry it out when they're hungry and want attention.
Yes, but so long as the child is healthy, what difference does it make that he cried a lot when he was a baby?
They tell me that it makes a lot of difference, Paul.
Yes, I read that somewhere. But we didn't make that mistake with Marilyn or Bobby.
No, and aren't they coming along as well as you could expect?
Father Morris, you mean to say that we're sitting here worrying about Dick all because of something we did when he was 4 weeks old?
No, that was the first mistake. But if you'll forgive me for saying so, I think there were many others.
Well, now, maybe you could give us some examples.
Yes, maybe I can. I remember I was sitting here a couple of years ago when Dick came running into the house and he said,
Hey, Mom! Hey, Mom, we beat him! Hey, Mom!
Here I am. Where were you all afternoon?
We had a game with St. Andrews. And boy, did we mop up on those guys. I made 2 home runs and we beat them 14-6. How do you like that?
Oh, look at you. Just look at you. How many times have I told you not to track across my clean kitchen floors with your muddy shoes? Look at the dirt on that floor.
I'm sorry, Mom.
You're sorry. Yes, you're sorry. A lot you care about the mud you track in here. You don't have to mop up the floors, do you?
I'll take off my shoes.
Oh, yes, you'll take off your shoes now that you've got mud all over my kitchen.
We beat St. Andrews.
Well, you didn't bother to come home and change your pants before you went to play ball, did you? No, that would be too much to ask of you. Look at those pants.
I had to slide into third base.
Oh, yes. You had to slide into third base. But look at the rip in those pants. Who's going to sew that up?
I guess you are.
Am I? Maybe you'd like to sew it up.
I can't.
No, you can't. You can't do anything around here except to make more work for me. Go upstairs and change your clothes and try to come down here looking like a decent human being. Oh, I wonder sometimes if it's all worthwhile.
Dick had helped to win a great victory over St. Andrew's Grammar School. He knocked out 2 home runs. Maybe you didn't know it at the time, Janice, but St. Andrew's was the undefeated team. Your son came home to glory in his achievement. He wanted you to be proud of him. How did you receive this wonderful news? You thought it was less important than mud on your kitchen floor and a rip in his pants that came when he stole third base.
I know I've been unfair to Dick at times.
Well, a mother can't be expected to understand those things the way a father would.
No, but sometimes fathers expect more than they should.
Are you talking about fathers in general or just me?
Paul, you're a very intelligent man. You probably have an IQ of 135.
No, the Army told me that it's only 125.
But that's well above the average. And that's what you expect of Dick, isn't it?
Well, I don't expect my son to be a genius, but I do expect him to get grades that are a little above the average.
Paul, I sat here one evening while you went over Dick's report card, and I felt so miserable. I walked over to the drugstore and mixed myself a banana split.
Dad, it couldn't have been that bad.
Well, it went something like this.
Paul took the report card and he began to look very glum. Presently he said,
"Oh, no. Dick, this is a disgrace. When you come home with a report card like this, all I can say is that you're acting like a moron. You can do better, but you simply won't bother."
"I'm sorry, Dad."
"Oh, you're sorry. Of course you're sorry. That's the same old excuse. When I was your age, I did a lot better than you're doing. Look at this. Spelling, 76.
Yeah, I know. I should be better in spelling."
"And you would be better if you really studied."
"I'm sorry."
"You loaf around the house instead of doing your homework. Look at this. Geography, 81.
Not so good. But I'll tell you why."
"I don't want excuses. We have all kinds of books on geography in this house. Dick, I'm ashamed of you. You ought to be spanked for bringing home a report card like this. But instead, I'm cutting off your allowance. No more allowance until you bring home a good report card."
"But, Dad,
I'm ashamed to sign my name to this card. Unless I see a lot of improvement next month, we'll send you to summer school. These marks are a disgrace to you and to your family."
"It isn't fair for any father to expect that his son's report card will be as good or even better than the grades he received at the same age. Why should you expect your son to be equal to or even superior to you in intellect? Perhaps he wasn't born with your mentality. That's not his fault or yours either. No amount of browbeating will help, according to what my doctor friends tell me. But my son-in-law is a pretty nice guy. Here's what he said when I reminded him of that night."
"Dad, I suppose I have been mean to him about his report cards, but it was only because I was trying to spur him on to greater efforts."
"Yeah, you punished him by cutting off all his allowance. Paul, I see boys come into my drugstore, and I always know the boy who doesn't have an allowance. He's the one who hangs back and hopes somebody will buy him a soda."
"I didn't mean to make it that tough for him."
"No, but you did. A boy without an allowance is a kid who may become a thief. I've seen it happen right in my place."
"Yes, I can see that now."
"Darling, do you want to call the police again?"
"Oh, yes, dear. I'll call them again just in case."
"Dad, have I been unfair to Dick?"
"Janice, honey, you've tried to be fair, but I do think you favored Marilyn and Bob."
"I suppose I have. Even though I tried to treat them all alike."
"Well, a mother usually favors her younger children. That's only natural because they need more attention. But the older one knows he's being neglected."
"But I'm so fond of Dick. I wouldn't say this to anyone else. But deep down in my heart, I love him more than the others did."
"It's too bad he doesn't know that."
"Dad, I've tried so many times to bring him close to me. He's always so cold. He's so different from Marilyn and Bobby."
"But, my dear, you've never shown him that he means as much to you as they do. For instance, the other day I heard you say this to him."
"Dick, must you always come home dirty?"
"I'm not so dirty tonight. Just my hands and face."
"But look at Marilyn. She just came home from school. Show him your hands, darling."
"Yeah, but she wasn't playing ball."
"She always comes home clean. You always come home dirty."
"That's because she's a girl."
"No, it isn't. Bobby isn't as dirty as you are."
"Well..."
"And furthermore, they're both getting better marks in school than you were at their age. Now, why can't you keep yourself clean?"
"Oh, I don't know."
"You don't try."
"I do, too."
"You're deliberately trying to provoke me. You're obstinate, mean, and stubborn, all on purpose. You know better."
"Oh, gosh."
"Dick, you're no help at home. You're not doing well in school. And here you are, going on 13. If you don't do better soon, we'll have to send you off to a boarding school."
"Now, Dick wasn't as bad as all that. He did a lot around the house. He loved baseball and every other sport, and he was getting along well with his classmates. But his father wanted a better student. And his mother wanted a boy who was as neat and clean as a senior in college. They couldn't understand why he'd run away from home. I could. When Paul came back from the telephone, he said,
Well, the police haven't heard a thing. They send a full report out to every town within 100 miles.
It's past midnight.
Oh, he'll turn up in a few more hours. When he does, I'm going to give him a real old-fashioned whipping out in the garage. Don't you think that's the only way I can teach him a lesson, John?
No. There's a time and place for spanking, and I think this is the wrong time.
Why?
Paul, he came to you last Saturday asking for help. Do you remember what you said?
Well, he was fooling around with my tools in the workshop.
I wouldn't say that he was fooling around, Paul. He and his friend Jimmy were working on a very serious project. You remember what he said when he came upstairs to see you?
Oh, that.
Now, wait a minute, Paul. Let's recall exactly what happened, because I think it's very important that you understand just how Dick felt about it. He came to you and said...
Dad, could you give Jimmy and me a hand down in the basement?
What are you doing down there?
Jimmy and I are planning to build a boat.
Boat? What kind of a boat?
A flat-bottom boat. Sort of a dinghy.
It's dinghy.
Jimmy has the blueprints.
Well, now, isn't this a grand idea? In the first place, if you build it in the basement, how would you get it out of the basement?
Oh. I guess we didn't think about that. It wouldn't go through the door, would it?
Of course not.
But we could build it out in the garage, couldn't we?
I suppose you could.
Swell.
If you had the materials.
Well, you have the tools.
Oh, yes, I have the tools. Of course, you've helped yourself to a lot of my tools and haven't bothered to bring them back. You realize that?
Tommy takes your tools out and loses them.
Sure, sure. Blame it all on Tommy. Now, where would you get the lumber for this boat?
Well, I thought we might use some of the old boards you have lying around in the garage.
Oh, of all the crazy schemes. None of that old wood is good enough to build a boat.
Oh, it isn't?
No. Good Lord, Dick, couldn't you even figure that much out for yourself?
Well, could we buy the right kind of wood?
Yes, I suppose you could.
Oh, fine.
If you knew what you wanted.
Well, would you show us, Dad?
No, because this is too much of a big project for you and Jimmy to tackle with the little amount of woodworking you've done. If I started to show you how, I'd wind up by doing the whole job myself.
Oh.
Why don't you build something that's simple enough for a couple of kids?
Like what, Dad?
There are dozens of things that you could build with the tools and lumber I have.
Well, just for instance now.
Dick, when I was your age, I didn't going around asking my father what I should build. I picked out a project, drew up my plans, and went ahead and built it.
Okay. But if we find something in Jimmy's handicraft manual, will you help us?
You mean now?
Sure.
Look, I've got a golf date for this afternoon. You and Jimmy decide what you want to build, and I'll help you with it some other time. But in the meantime, I want you two to get out of that basement before you hurt yourselves with one of my power tools.
Sat staring at the floor for a while without saying a word. He had the same guilty expression I'd seen a dozen times on Dick's face when he was caught in a jam without a good excuse. Finally, he said,
I can see where I gave him a brush off that time, but I really did have a golf day.
But it's so seldom that Dick shows any interest in your workshop, Paul.
Yes, it's very seldom.
Yeah, but how often do you show any interest in his hobbies?
Well, not very often.
No. If you had encouraged him to start in a small way and taught him how to use your tools, he and Jimmy probably wouldn't have wanted to tackle a boat.
You're right, Dad. I'm completely at fault. I haven't given him a chance to learn what I already know about tools.
And yet I still don't see that all this would lead a boy into running away from home, Dad.
No, that's quite true, Janice. There still has to be something that would make him run off rather than come home and face the music.
Have you any idea of what that could be?
Yes, I think I have. Paul, do you recall a threat that you made to Dick about 3 weeks ago?
A threat?
Yes. As I remember it, he ran a bicycle across the neighbor's garden and you...
Oh, yes. He cut across Mrs. Fisher's garden. And she called and said he did it deliberately.
Well, maybe it was deliberate, or maybe it was just a thoughtless act. That garden's on a vacant lot, and many youngsters are in the habit of riding across it. But at any rate, you told him that if you did it again, you'd beat the daylights out of him, didn't you?
Did I really say that?
Paul, I'm afraid those were your exact words.
Well, now, just suppose he accidentally rode across that garden this morning. And then, suddenly realized that he was due for the worst spanking you've ever given him.
Oh, Paul.
Hello?
Hello? Is this Mr. Ward?
Yes.
We found your son.
Oh, you have? They found him. Oh,
thank God.
Where is he?
We have him here at the 12th Street Station.
Thank you. We'll be right over to get him. He's back.
Oh, Paul.
We'll have him home in half an hour. Let's go, darling.
Oh, Dad, you must be done in. You go along to bed.
We certainly learned a lot from you tonight, Dad.
What I said tonight, I'll never say again, Paul. Dick's your boy. From now on, I'm minding my own business.
We present Dr. Fred V. Hine, consultant in health and fitness, Bureau of Health Education of the American Medical Association. Dr. Hine.
Paul and Janice really loved their oldest boy. Perhaps their feeling for Dick was even deeper than for the children who came later. But like many other parents, they felt that they had completely done their job when they supplied Dick's material wants. He has everything he needs, his parents said. Yes, everything but sympathy, understanding, and security. The mistakes that Paul and Janice made are easy to make. Even the best of parents have erred in these or similar ways. We have to learn to be good parents, just as we need to learn how to do our job well, or to run a home efficiently. Only the task is much more difficult, and the results may be of far greater consequence. We learn through our own experiences. We do a better job with the second and third child. Often we can profit from the experiences of others. In the last 20 years, doctors and psychologists have discovered a great deal about child growth and development. We realize now that love and affection are more important than schedules. We appreciate the preciousness of individuality and sense the wrongness of comparing one child with another. We know that while dirty footprints on the floor are a fleeting thing, the game with St. Andrews can never be won again. We understand the real importance of the play life of children and value each small childhood success as a rung in the ladder toward future achievement. We recognize that parents who are overly ambitious for their youngsters, who expect too much, may play a part in warping personality. Good marks, for example, are important, but goals must be adjusted to the abilities of the boy or girl. Home may be a place to hang your hat, or a haven of understanding in time of need. Parents may be domineering, humorless despots, or friendly, human, guardians of security. Probably no child was ever loved too much. Some have been spoiled by misdirected love, but no child can ever have too much genuine affection, which makes him feel wanted, content, and secure.
Doctors Today is presented by the American Medical Association through the facilities of the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations. This program is presented on behalf of the thousands of physicians who are working night and day to protect and preserve the lives of 141 million Americans. The American Medical Association invites you to join us again next week to hear another report on the progress of medicine and surgery in America. Doctors Today, written by William J. Murphy, comes to you through the facilities of the National Broadcasting Company and the affiliated independent stations associated with the NBC network. The orchestra is under the direction of Bernard Berquist, with original music composed by Emil Soderstrom. The entire production is under the direction of Norman Felton. Heard in today's cast were George Kluge, Fern Persons, Jess Pugh, Alma Platz, Tommy DeLeon, Stuart Sklam, and Rupert LaBelle. Your announcer is Hugh Downs. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.